Welcome to episode 859 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
Daniel 7 presents a vision that Daniel receives, marking a significant shift in the book from historical narrative to apocalyptic prophecy. This chapter offers insights into the judgment, the end times, and the eternal kingdom of God. Let's take a closer look. In the first three verses of the chapter, Daniel has a dream and visions that trouble him. He sees four winds stirring the great sea, from which four great beasts emerge. The great sea symbolizes the peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages of the earth. This is a common understanding. Large bodies of water separate and surround landmasses, similar to how nations exist as distinct entities. The four winds represent strife and conflict, or the political upheavals that lead to the rise of different kingdoms. The beasts symbolize successive world kingdoms or empires that have significant roles in both biblical prophecy and history. In verse 4, we encounter the first beast, a lion with eagle's wings. This beast represents the Babylonian Empire, or the head of gold in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The lion symbolizes strength and majesty. The eagle's wings denote speed and expansiveness, reflecting Babylon's rapid conquests and its status as a formidable empire. The wings of the beast are plucked off, and it is made to stand on 2 feet like a man. This reflects Nebuchadnezzar's humbling by God in Daniel 4, where he loses his power, depicted by the plucking of wings, is humbled, standing on 2 feet like a man, and eventually acknowledges God's sovereignty, thus receiving a man's heart or a change in character. Verse 5 describes the second beast, which resembles a bear raised up on one side. This creature represents the Medo-Persian Empire that succeeds Babylon. The bear being raised up on one side suggests the empire's dual nature, with Persia being more dominant than Media. The position of the bear implies an imbalance, reflecting the unequal partnership between the Medes and the Persians. Verse 5 says this about the bear-like beast. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. The 3 ribs symbolize the major conquests of the Medo-Persian Empire over Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt, indicating its expansive military appetite and success. Verse 6 introduces us to a leopard with 4 wings and 4 heads. This beast is identified with the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. The leopard, known for its speed and agility, coupled with 4 wings, symbolizes the unprecedented rapidity of Alexander's conquests. In less than 7 years, the Macedonian general had conquered most of the Achaemenid territories, including Egypt, and reached parts of Central Asia. He died in Babylon at the age of 33, leaving behind an enormous empire. The 4 heads represent the division of his empire after his death among his 4 generals, Cassander, Lysimachus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. Verse 6 ends with this statement, "And dominion was given to it." Despite the empire's division, it continued to wield significant influence, spreading Hellenistic culture across the known world, and those cultural influences linger to this day. Verse 7 introduces us to a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. This creature represents the Roman Empire. Its strength, ferocity, and the use of iron teeth to devour and break in pieces align with Rome's military dominance and its role in crushing opposition. Verse 7 characterizes it as different from all the others. This uniqueness points to Rome's unprecedented reach, sophistication of governance, and influence, which was unlike any empire before it. Verse 7 ends with this assertion, "It had 10 horns. The imagery of the 10 horns is symbolic of power, authority, and kingship. In biblical prophecy, horns often represent kings or kingdoms. The 10 horns are 10 kingdoms that arose from the Roman Empire's territory after its fall. This division did not happen overnight, but was the result of a complex process involving invasions, settlements, and assimilations. The identification of these 10 kingdoms is generally associated with the major tribal confederations and kingdoms that established themselves on Roman territory. These include the Anglo-Saxons, England, Franks, France, Alemanni, Germany, Visigoths, Spain, Suevi, Portugal, Lombards, Italy, Burgundians, Switzerland, Heruli, Ostrogoths, and Vandals. The Heruli, Ostrogoths, and Vandals are particularly noted for their eventual displacement or absorption, aligning with the prophecy of a little horn displacing three of the ten in the very next verse of this chapter, Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. In verse 8 and then again in verses 20 to 25, Daniel sees a little horn arising among the ten horns of Rome. It is characterized by its human eyes and a mouth speaking boastfully. The little horn's actions include waging war against the saints, attempting to change times and laws, and exercising dominion for a time, times, and half a time. This power represents the papal phase of the Roman Church's development. This interpretation is grounded in several key characteristics described in the prophecy. First, its emergence among the ten horns. The little horn arises among the ten horns that symbolize the divided Roman Empire, indicating that the papacy's rise to power occurred within the geopolitical framework of post-Roman Europe. Second, it uproots three horns. These three horns represent three kingdoms that were established after the fall of Rome, but that were eventually eliminated: the Heruli, Vandals, and Ostrogoths. The Heruli were a nomadic Germanic people who roamed across various parts of Eastern and Central Europe. In the mid-5th century, they established a kingdom in Italy, but were defeated and dispersed by the Ostrogoths in 493 AD under Theodoric the Great. Originally from the region that would now include parts of Poland and the Baltic states, the Vandals migrated through Europe, eventually crossing into North Africa in the early 5th century. They established a kingdom centered on Carthage, present-day Tunisia, and extended their control over large parts of the Western Mediterranean. The Vandal kingdom was conquered by the Byzantine Empire in 533 AD under the command of General Belisarius, as part of Emperor Justinian I's attempt to reconquer the western provinces of the former Roman Empire. Originating in the Baltic region as well, the Ostrogoths moved southward and, under Theodoric the Great, established a kingdom in Italy after defeating the Heruli in 493 AD. Their capital was at Ravenna. The Ostrogothic kingdom lasted until it was reconquered by the Byzantine Empire in the late 6th century, also part of Justinian's campaigns. All three of these kingdoms adopted Arian Christianity, a theological stance initiated by Arius in the early 4th century. Arius, a Christian priest from Alexandria, Egypt, sparked a significant theological controversy by asserting that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was not co-eternal with God the Father, suggesting that the Son was a created being and therefore not divine in the same way as the Father. This view directly contradicted the emerging Orthodox position that would later be defined as Trinitarianism, which held that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are co-eternal and of the same substance. The defeat of the Vandals and Ostrogoths and the assimilation or displacement of the Heruli contributed to the decline of Arian Christianity and the consolidation of Trinitarian Christianity as the dominant faith in the former Roman Empire. Third, the little horn is characterized by boastful speech and persecution. The boastful speech is seen as reflective of the claims to authority and infallibility made by the papacy. The persecution of the saints aligns with the historical persecution of those who dissented from the Roman Church's teachings during the Middle Ages and beyond. Fourth, according to verse 25, the little horn power shall think to change the times and the law. This is a reference to the papacy's alteration of biblical timekeeping and law, most notably the change from Sabbath worship on Saturday to Sunday worship, and the modification of the Ten Commandments to align with church doctrine. Finally, verse 25 says, "And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time." This period is interpreted as prophetic language for 1260 years, typically understood to span from 538 AD, when the papacy was recognized as having authority over all Christian churches, to 1798 AD, when Pope Pius VI was taken captive by Napoleon's forces, marking a temporary diminishment of papal power.
There is a lot here, far more than we have time to address in this episode, to be continued. Father, open our eyes so that we may see and understand your truths. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.